Welcome to worship at North Bourne Uniting Church on Thursday, the 25th of December, Christmas Day. The streaming of this service is covered by a copyright license from CCLI number 14636. Our first hymn today is Together in Song 322, The North Wind is Tossing the Leaves.
Be seated. When I chose the first hymn, I did not realise that In the Bleak Midwinter would have been even more appropriate. Your parts are on the screen in bold yellow. A child is born, a child to save us.
We share in this with great joy.
A child is born, a child to challenge us.
We share in this with great joy.
A child is born. A child for the world.
We share the news with great joy.
This land is God's land for which the Wurundjeri have cared since time immemorial. We acknowledge their elders, past and present, and we commit ourselves to the covenant between the Uniting Church and the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress. Over Advent, we have been singing verses of the Advent hymn, The Candle of Hope, as we light each candle. And today we're going to sing the whole hymn. So those of you who have been coming to church during Advent, sing out. And as we sing, Verna and I will light the appropriate candles in the Advent wreath. So, the candle of hope.
Christ in his glory will make all things.
Christ is born the light of the world. As we light the Christ candle, we celebrate the one who comes to shine in every darkness. We trust that Christ's light reaches even the places we cannot see. And we say together, Christ, light of the world, shine in us. Let us pray. Incarnate Christ, be born in us this Christmas. May our will be as Mary's, saying yes to your call. May our minds be as Joseph's, open to your unfolding revelation. May our voices be as the angels, joyfully proclaiming the good news. May our heads be as the animals, quietly bent in adoration. May our feet be as the shepherds, running eagerly to find you. May our hands be as the wise men's, offering all that we have. May our hearts be as the manger, poor yet containing heaven's greatest treasure. May our lives be as the stable, hallowed and expanded by your presence. Incarnate Christ, be born again in us this Christmas. Amen. And now we listen for God's word.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quintilius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy. For all the people, to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
I invite you to stand as we sing the Polish carol together in song 292, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Please be seated. So you have a part in the picture book, and for your part, you need to hoot like an owl. So can we try that now? One, two, three. Okay, you'll know when your parts come. The book I'm reading today is called The Grumpy Owl and the Joy of Christmas, and it's by Jonathan Maltz, Christopher Poe, and Jago. There was once an owl who lived in an empty old barn. It was cold, damp, and most of all, lonely, just the way he liked it. He was a grumpy owl. One night, the owl was rudely interrupted by a man, a woman, and their donkey bursting through the doors. "What are you doing in my barn?" hooted the owl to the donkey. "The guest room was full and she's having a baby." "Well, she's making way too much noise." The owl was growing angrier by the second. "But this is a special baby," explained the donkey. "I don't give a..." "Very good, owl." "This won't do." With a flap of his wings, he was off to find somewhere to be alone. The grumpy owl landed in the rolling hills on the edge of the village. "That's better." Suddenly, over the hill came dozens of excited sheep and their shepherds. "Have you heard?" barred a sheep. "The saviour of the world has been born in a barn." "Who told you that?" "Angels appeared in the sky and told our shepherd." "Isn't that amazing?" "I don't give a..." "We're going to see him now. Won't you come and see?" "I just want to be left alone," the owl replied. The sheep hopped on, joining the parade of laughing, singing, and baaing. "This won't do." With a flap of his wings, he was off to find somewhere to be alone. This time the owl flew a bit further to an empty desert. "That's better." Out from the dunes marched a camel. "Have you heard? The King of Kings has been born," he said. "Who told you that?" "These humans saw his special star." "I don't give a..." "We're bringing him gifts. Won't you come and see?" "I just want to be left alone," the owl huffed. As the camel padded on, he was followed by a line of camels and wise men following the light of a star. "This won't do." And with a flap of his wings, the owl was off to find somewhere to be alone. This time the owl flew further than he'd ever flown before. He flew over jungles, swamps, oceans, and mountains, until he reached the frozen land at the very end of the earth. All he could see was snow. All he could hear was the wind. Finally, a place where he could be left alone. Perfect. Out of the snow sneaked a fox. "The Creator is doing something special. Can you feel it? The whole of creation is excited." "I don't give a..." "Neither do I," replied the fox. "I just want to be left alone." "I know a place where no one will bother you," smiled the fox, with a cunning look in his eye. "Won't you come and see?" The owl followed the fox into the snowstorm. "We're here, quick, into my burrow." "But where will you go?" asked the owl. The fox grinned, revealing his sharp teeth. "I'm not going anywhere." Suddenly the fox leapt at the owl. The owl backed away from the fox's jaws. He flew out of the burrow and up into the air. "My barn can't be worse than this." The grumpy owl flew back over the jungles, swamps, oceans, mountains, deserts, and hills. But as he flew closer to his barn, he saw light spilling out of the doorway. So many noises. There were sheep baaing, shepherds worshipping, chickens clucking, cows mooing, relatives rejoicing, singing and dancing. "This won't do." The grumpy owl was now the grumpiest he'd ever been. He decided to wait until everyone had gone. All of a sudden, above all the noise, he heard the low cry of a baby. He looked down, and there, through a crack in the roof, he could see a baby lying in a manger. Could it really be true? Was this child the special child, the saviour? the King of Kings? As he looked down into the baby's eyes, something strange began to happen. It was like the baby's gaze reached right into him, melting his ice-cold heart. It must be true. Suddenly he began to feel something he had never felt before, a warm feeling that he didn't understand. What could it be? Joy. Not wanting to miss out, he flew inside the barn. The Saviour has been born in my barn, he hooted with joy. He flew through the village, inviting all the other animals to come and see. His urge to be alone had disappeared. This will do, he thought. From that day forward, the grumpy owl wasn't grumpy anymore. The end. Excellent hooting, everyone. The next hymn is Together in Song 312, Once in Royal David's City. Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was at a service of lessons and carols where I heard a new Christmas song. This doesn't often happen to me, at least not in churches. I tend to know everything that's being sung. But the choir sang the 2025 hymn, "This Child Shall Be Our Peace," by Eileen Berry and Molly James, which is based on Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. It contains the lines, and don't worry, I will say them, not sing them. "He stills our raging anger. He heals our hopeless grief. He calms our frantic worry. He helps our unbelief. Beneath his righteous scepter, he makes all wars to cease. Come bow the knee before him. This child shall be our peace." I found this so moving that I almost wept in the middle of the service. This is the Jesus I worship, the one whose birth I celebrate at Christmas, the one who stills our raging anger and heals our hopeless grief. But because I can only be emotional for about 30 seconds before my analytical brain switches back on, I almost immediately found myself thinking, does Jesus' righteous scepter make all wars cease? Has no Christian nation ever invaded another? What about the Crusades? A millennium after the birth of Christ, European Christians decided that because their faith began in the Holy Land, they should rule the Holy Land. And so began several centuries of war as European Christians tried to conquer the lands around Jerusalem. And what about the various European empires' use of Christianity to justify colonialism? Dear Desmond Tutu once said, "When the missionaries came to Africa, they had the Bible and we had the land. They said, 'Let us pray.' We closed our eyes. When we opened them, we had the Bible and they had the land." I love the idea that Jesus is our peace. But through the centuries, too many Christians seem to have forgotten that at his trial, Jesus told the Roman governor, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." From the moment of his birth, from the stories we retell at Christmas, we see that Jesus is a new kind of king with a kingdom unlike those of the world. Jesus, through his adoption by Joseph, is descended from the house and family of David, but he is in many ways the anti-David. David is a warrior king. Even as a boy, he was already killing and beheading his enemies, and his followers sang of him that he had killed his 10,000s. In contrast, when Jesus was being arrested, one of his followers cut off the ear of the slave of the high priest, and Jesus said, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword." Jesus is born in the city of David called Bethlehem, but he will be nothing like David. And so, from the very first time we see him, we see Jesus as the most vulnerable and fragile of human beings, a baby wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. You may have noticed and been surprised that the scripture translation read today said that there was no place for the Holy Family in the guest room. The idea that Mary and Joseph were turned away from an inn, that there was no place for God when God entered the world, that Jesus was born in a lowly cattle shed among the poor, despised, and lowly, is a wonderful rhetorical flourish. Numerous campaigns for refugees and the homeless have used the line, "No room at the inn." But that's unfair to the people of Bethlehem. When I visited the City of Peace, a Christian there showed me the sort of home in which Mary and Joseph would have been lodged, a house with three levels. The bottom level was for the animals, the middle for the family, and the top for guests. If the family had to make room for Mary and Joseph in the bottom level, it would only be because the guest room was full, and Mary and Joseph would still have been in the family home. Sadly, despite numerous nativity plays, there would be no grumpy innkeeper sending them round the back to a shed. As they do now, the people of Bethlehem would have made room for strangers. And that, of course, is what Christmas calls us to do. We too are to make room for Jesus in our lives and in our hearts. We do this not only by celebrating his birth, but by following his teachings. The Apostle Matthew tells us that those who don't identify as Christian make room for Jesus in their hearts by feeding the hungry, giving the thirsty something to drink, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, and visiting the sick and those in prison. Many of the people I grew up with, those with whom I attended church youth camps, do these things today without ever darkening the door of a church, and I am certain that Jesus welcomes them into his kingdom. But for those of us who do claim to be Christian, making room for Jesus as the people of Bethlehem made room for him demands more. If we truly want to follow Jesus, then we need to take seriously the commands of the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. As Jesus tells his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." I would say that the crusaders who went into battle crying, "Deus vult," "God wills it," were among those who have historically said, "Lord, Lord," but not done the will of Jesus' Father. I would say that if Jesus had not also said, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged." So rather than talking about the crusaders, I'll talk about us. If we wish Jesus to be born in our hearts, we need to at least be willing to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Jesus was born at a time when Herod ruled as Rome's puppet, and yet he taught, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also." Jesus grew up under Roman occupation, a time when Roman soldiers could press civilians into service. And yet he told his followers, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile." The majority community rejected Jesus and his followers, and yet Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." We still pray a version of that today, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." And that's not meant to be mere lip service. I remember the story I heard of a Christian couple whose child was murdered in the World Trade Center on 9/11, who didn't go to church on the Sunday immediately afterwards because they were not yet ready to be reminded of the imperative to forgive. But they knew that one day they would have to ask God for the grace to forgive their child's murderers, because that's what it means to follow Jesus. I am deeply grateful that I have never been tested in that way, and that the most I have had to forgive someone is them driving through a stop sign and destroying my car. Loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, forgiving those who sin against us, sounds almost superhuman. It's certainly countercultural. Many people today seem to think that hating their enemies is a virtue. It's not something that most of us can do in our own strength. It's something we can only do through God's grace. But if we do it, if we respond to evil with good and to hatred with love, then the words that so moved me this year will be true. He stills our raging anger. He heals our hopeless grief. He calms our frantic worry. He helps our unbelief. Beneath his righteous scepter, he makes all wars to cease. Come bow the knee before him. This child shall be our peace. Amen. Bruce and Tom are going to bring us our next carol, the Carol for Contemplation, and you're invited to join in the refrains, which will be on the screen. Let us pray. Christmas child, we hold a world that is both loved and broken. For all those affected by disasters, natural, human-made, or both. For lives uprooted by war, violence, flood, fire, and drought. Our hearts break. Yet in the cracks of sorrow, compassion slips in and love takes hold. You were born under an empire's shadow, yet at your birth you were surrounded by all creation, by shepherds and angels. You were born when your land was under occupation, but you were wrapped in love, not fear. So be born in us this day. Turn our lament into solidarity, our prayer into action, our love into witness. Christmas child, born into a world both loved and broken, teach us to sing your song of peace and justice. Plant in us your seed of hope and joy. Humbly we pray. Amen. And we pray in the words of the adult that child grew into. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The offering we collect today is for the Christmas bowl, and the money will go to projects around the world bringing peace and justice. Your offering will now be received. Please stand. Let us pray. At your birth, you were not alone, but surrounded with love and amazement. There was no guest room left, yet strangers welcomed you in their house. Animals gave their manger, and the shepherds hurried with joy. So we lift up this Christmas bowl, a history of love and amazement, solidarity and care, hope and witness. Amen. And the final hymn today is Together in Song 304, O Come All Ye Faithful. ever have one announcement on Christmas Day, which is, be careful on the roads. So far this year, 285 people have died on Victoria's roads. Do not add to that number. And as a few of us have noticed, it can be other people's bad driving. So keep an eye out for idiots. Go into the world with the Christ child born anew in your hearts, working for peace and justice, never looking away from those who suffer. And may the God whose love permeates creation, the Christ born into a loved and broken world, and the Spirit who inspires every act of compassion, bless you this Christmas day and always. Christ is born. Peace on earth. Merry Christmas.